Today's reading is Luke 5, 12 through 26. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. King's Quest students, first through fifth graders, you can head to the lobby, find your teachers, and the rest of you may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Esther, and every couple of months I have the privilege of sharing with you from God's Word, and I'm excited for our time this morning. As Jake said, if you're new this morning, a very warm welcome to you. If you're watching us online, good morning. If you're with us last week for the first time on Easter and you're back, we're so glad you're back again with us. Before Easter, we were in a series on the book of Luke, and we're going to pick that series back up again this morning. And as we start, I want to ask you to think about something. If somebody asked you how you know that you live in LA, what would you say? What evidence, what markers, what signs would you give of proof to the fact that you live in the huge metropolis known as LA County? Yeah, okay, so you stole my punchline, Natter. We had two funny things happen in our family recently that reminded me, yep, we live in LA. So the first, we had taken our kids on a trip to Arizona, on a road trip, we had a great time. And as we're driving back onto the LA freeways, right around 5 o'clock, we hear our four-year-old call out from the back seat, "Why are we parking here?" You know you're living in LA when your children think you've pulled into a parking spot and it's just that you're sitting on the freeway in rush hour. Second funny thing that happened, our two oldest kids, Ruthie and Jonah, have been spending weeks building this awesome Lego city. It has a bake shop and a parking lot and a hair salon. And I think there's a photo coming up of the, yeah, so there you can see their little bakery. I know, so cute. And their little hair salon. And they also put a public park in their city, which is awesome. It's got a slide, it's got like a grassy area, it's got picnic tables. And then they also added some public restrooms. And do you see what they added to the public restrooms? Graffiti. You know you're raising your children in LA when they think to add graffiti to their pretend public restrooms. Now, these are all kind of sad signs of living in LA. Of course, I think there's lots of wonderful things about living in LA. We have access to live theater and the Pacific Ocean. We have tons of great food. We have languages and cultures that we can learn from and experience. We have amazing weather, not counting this past winter and what seems to be dragging on into the spring, but we normally have amazing weather. And we have, I think, something very unusual. Adam, you want to pop that last picture up? We get to see something like this. So much anticipation. Maybe we're going to see it. Oh, it's up. Okay, I just can't see it on that one. How many places can you see something like this? Sand, the ocean, and snow-covered mountains, right? That is a sign that you are living in LA. There's very few places in the world where you could see something like that. I took this picture when I was walking down the street from a parking spot to a friend's house. This is what life in LA is like, right? It's not just traffic and graffiti. It's also the Pacific Ocean and snow-covered mountains. And this morning, as we turn to Luke, we're going to see some glimpses of what life is like in God's kingdom. Luke is going to give us some markers, some signs, some evidence of how we know that we are living under God's authority in God's kingdom. And it is better than ocean and snow-capped mountains. So if you have your Bible with me, we're going to turn to Luke 5. We're going to look at two passages this week where Jesus performs two miracles. Jesus says earlier in Luke, in Luke 4:18, that God has sent him to proclaim liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to those who are oppressed, and to proclaim good news. The good news that Jesus is the Messiah and that God's kingdom has come to earth. And in the passage that we're going to look at, we're going to see glimpses of that power come to earth. And we're going to see signs of what life is like under Jesus' messiahship. Like traffic and graffiti and live theater are to LA, these signs are markers. They are indicators of what life is like in God's kingdom. So you've got your Bible, you've opened it to Luke 5. If you don't have one, there's one underneath the seat, underneath your seat, and it's on page 861. So we're going to read about this first miracle, and it's going to show us the first sign of what life is like in God's kingdom, and it's this. Jesus' healing power is on display. Jesus' healing power is on display. That's the first sign, the first indicator we have of what life is like in God's kingdom. So as we begin reading, we're going to see that Jesus is on a trip. He's taken a missionary journey, and he's come to one of the cities, and a man approaches him, a man full of leprosy approaches him, and falls on his face in front of Jesus. Leprosy was a term then that could mean any number of skin diseases, all of which were bad. So this man with leprosy falls on his face before Jesus, and he makes an unusual request. Let's read together in Luke 5, beginning in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." So here comes this man, and he is full of leprosy, which means that he is an outcast in his society. Obviously, they did not want this highly contagious disease, whatever it was, to spread. And so the Jewish culture had these camps set up outside of town, far away from everybody, where people who were deemed unclean could live. And part of that being unclean was that you had to wear something over the lower half of your face. And you had to wear clothes that were torn. And anytime somebody approached you, you had to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people would know not to come near. And this is the life that this man has been living. And yet he has heard that Jesus has come and that there are signs, that there is evidence that God's kingdom is at hand, and he wants to put himself before this Jesus and see if he can see for himself some of this proof that God's kingdom is at hand. And so he approaches Jesus and he throws himself at his feet and he says, "Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean." There's two interesting things in that statement. First, it clearly shows that the leper knows that Jesus is able. He does not doubt his ability, his authority. He knows Jesus is able. He just wonders if he's willing. Would Jesus be moved to act on behalf of someone such as he, an outcast, the dregs of his society? "Jesus, I know you are able. Are you willing?" And secondly, he says, "Make me clean." He doesn't say, "Heal me." He says, "Make me clean." And I think it's evidence of the life this man has been living. He is in despair. He is hopeless. He is defiled and rejected. And he wants Jesus to make him clean. He wants to be restored. He wants to be cleansed. He wants to be made new. And he says, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And what is Jesus' response? He is moved with compassion, and he chooses to use his authority to give this man exactly what he's hoping for. Read with me, picking it up in verse 13. "And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Jesus touches him. Jesus reaches out his hand to this man who has probably had no physical contact in years. Luke says that he was full of leprosy, seeming to indicate that his disease was well advanced. Perhaps for decades, this man has been living shunned by his family, isolated from his community, without any kind of physical contact, except maybe a fellow leper. And Jesus sees this man, and he touches him. He heals him with his word. He chooses to use his power to demonstrate to this man and everybody who is watching that he has authority over this man's illness. That power, that authority, that miraculous healing is a sign of what life is like in God's kingdom. It is a sign of what life is like when Jesus is Lord, when we are under his messiahship. And that man knows he's had an encounter with God. The evidence is all through his body. He is cleansed. He is healed. He is made new. This is how we know we're living under Jesus' messiahship. We see God's miraculous power at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Jesus' ministry, his lordship, his kingdom is a place of power. Jesus has all authority over sickness and disease, and he heals this man with his touch and with his words. Then Jesus gives this man a set of instructions. He tells him, "Go straight, don't tell anybody, go to the priest, and get your cleansing confirmed." Look with me in Luke 5, verse 14. "And he," Jesus, "charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." Jesus wanted this man to go straight to the priest to get his cleansing recognized. Back then, according to Levitical law, if you had been unclean, you needed a priest, look you over, confirm that you were clean, and then you'd be restored to your society. And it wasn't just that Jesus wanted this man to be restored. See, at this time, Israel would have understood leprosy as incurable. This is an incurable disease. Only God has the power to cure leprosy. And when this man presents himself to the priest and says he was cleansed by the hands of Jesus, the priest is forced to say, "Jesus must be God." And so Jesus tells this man, "Go straight to the priest and get your cleansing verified." Now, we know from other passages that this man does not do that. He tells everybody everywhere what Jesus has done for him. And we can see in Luke what the result of that is. Look with me now in verse 15. But even now more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. Word of what life is like in God's kingdom is spreading. This evidence, these signs of what life is like when Jesus is on the move, has taken wing, and people are hearing about it everywhere. And more people want to come to be near Jesus, to hear him teach, to experience their miraculous power for themselves. As this section ends, we see how Jesus is able to sustain all the demands and pressures from the crowds. Look at verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Undergirding Jesus' whole ministry is a need, is a desire to be with the Father. We've already seen examples of this in Luke, and there are more examples to come of the regularity with which Jesus withdraws to spend time with his Father. In order to go about his Father's business, Jesus needs to be alone and communing with the Father. So as Jesus moves further into his ministry, there is more and more evidence that God's kingdom has come. There is more and more signs that Jesus is the Messiah, that he has all authority and power. Under Jesus' messiahship, there are miracles and healing. And Luke wants us to see that as he tells the story of the leper. And my friends, Jesus is still the Messiah. God is still at work. His kingdom is still at hand. Do we know that? Do we believe that? Do we see that? I think, sadly, it's easy for us to be cynical. It's easy for us to read stories like this and then look at the world around us, particularly America, and think, that's in the past. Jesus did that in biblical times. That kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore. But Jesus is still at work. He still has authority and power and is able to do miraculous things. God is still performing miracles, big and small. A few examples. A revival in a Kentucky college that lasts 24 hours a day for 14 days in a row until the local police say, we gotta shut it down, there's too many people. My sister's story, my sister Mary, at the end of college, she mysteriously lost her menstrual cycle. She didn't have it for 8 years. She went to doctor after doctor. No cause, no diagnosis. She went into her marriage thinking, I'll never be able to have children. And then, miraculously, a few years into marriage, she found herself pregnant. And she has 4 children now. God is at work. His miraculous power is still present. Another story. In seminary, I met a wonderful woman named Ro. She's several years older than I am, but we instantly became very close. And as I married, then she and her husband also became friends of my husband and I together. And as we spent time with Ro and Jim and got to know them more, we learned more about Jim's story in particular. See, at the age of 12, Jim was exposed to pornography. And this began a 33-year addiction. He brought that addiction, unbeknownst to Ro, into their marriage. It damaged their marriage. It damaged Jim's life. And for years, he struggled. But God's miraculous power was not defeated by that addiction. 27 years ago, Jim found healing and freedom. And in the nearly 3 decades since, God has restored their marriage. He has brought beauty and joy. And next month, our friends are celebrating 48 years of marriage together. That is what life is like in God's kingdom. People are healed and they find freedom. Another story, one from our community. Many of you might know Sarah Floyd. For years, Sarah struggled with drug and alcohol abuse, thinking she would never get clean, that she would never find freedom. Eventually, she found herself at the bottom with her son in foster care and herself homeless. But God's miraculous power found Sarah. In rehab, she had an encounter with him that changed her life forever. Next month, Sarah is celebrating 5 miraculous sober years with her son restored to her and herself working in the addiction and recovery industry. That is a miracle, people of grace. That is our God at work, moving in people's life, bringing healing and freedom and restoration. That is what life is like in God's kingdom. The stories are out there. God is at work. What signs and markers do you see of his authority? Where do you see him setting the oppressed free, giving sight to the blind, releasing the captives? Where do you see him at work in your own life and in the lives of those around you? Let's keep moving now to our second and final passage. This story, the healing of the paralytic when his friends lower him through the house where Jesus is teaching, is probably familiar to a lot of us. And Luke strings these two stories together, the healing of the leper and the healing of the paralytic, because he wants to continue to build this evidence of what life is like in God's kingdom. But in this story, we're going to see a second marker of what life is like in God's kingdom. We're going to see a second sign, a second evidence, proof of what life is like under Jesus' messiahship. And it's just as miraculous. In this story, we're going to see that sins are forgiven. In God's kingdom, sins are forgiven. Jesus' authority extends not just to the physical world, but to the spiritual world as well. And so we're going to read this story. And as we start, we're going to see that Jesus is encountering opposition. For the first time in Luke, we're going to see the Pharisees. They've come to check out what Jesus is teaching. And they have a different response to his authority than the people we've read about so far. So let's read the story together, beginning in verse 17. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. So as we saw in our first story, word has spread. Word has spread so much so that the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, are thinking, we better get a handle on what this Jesus is preaching. The Pharisees were not a huge group. There was probably only about 6,000 of them in all of Israel, but they were hugely influential. Their word was law. And so as the unofficial religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees decided, we better go check out this Jesus. And so they've come to observe him. And while they're there, Luke says, the power of the Lord was on Jesus to heal, which maybe strikes us as a little funny because we're thinking, isn't the power of the Lord always on Jesus to heal? And yes, it is. But Luke wants to draw our attention to that in this particular case, Jesus' power was obvious to everyone. In the story that unfolds, the healing of the paralytic, there is a clear and obvious demonstration of Jesus' authority that makes it obvious to everyone who Jesus is. But it's going to be so much more than just Jesus' power to heal. We're going to see in this story that there's also the power to forgive. That's the good news of what it means to be in God's kingdom, is that there is forgiveness of sins. So let's keep reading in verse 18 to 19, excuse me, to see how these events unfold. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. So Jesus is teaching and it's super crowded. The house is packed. These men come with their friend and they want to get him to Jesus and they can't because it's so crowded. And they've checked every window and they checked the doors and there's no room. And so they decide to take him to the roof and lower him down. Back then, houses would have had flat roofs and they would have had an external staircase that you could get to from outside that you get to the roof from. And the roofs would have been flat. They would have been made of beams. And then those beams would have been covered by reeds or clay. And it sounds like in this case, it was a house maybe of clay because it describes it as tiles. And so the friends find that staircase. They take their paralyzed friend up it. They remove the clay. They find an opening in the beams and they lower their friend down. It's a great plan, right? They've clearly got a divergent thinker in their group. And their plan works. Jesus is moved by the tenacity of their faith. Look at what he says in verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. Do you wonder if the friends were like, What was that now? We came for him to be made to walk. No one said anything about sins. But Jesus is doing something bigger, and you can tell by the response of the Pharisees that they see it. They see that this is not just a physical act. Jesus is doing something inside this man's soul that is bigger than just the physical world. And as Messiah, Jesus is claiming that he has the authority to do just that, to affect this man's spiritual life as well. So we're going to keep reading, because you're going to see the religious leaders' response to this claim. Spoiler alert, does not go over well with them. They don't think it's good. Look at verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" The irony here is that the Pharisees actually see things clearly. They know that God alone can forgive sins. And they can tell by Jesus' words that he is claiming to be God. The sad thing is, they do not believe that claim. They do not recognize that Jesus is the Messiah with all of God's authority and power with him. And Jesus attempts to set them straight. Look at what Jesus says in response to the Pharisees' accusation that he is wrong in his claim to be able to forgive sins. Read verse 22 through 24. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Jesus is willing to give this crowd external proof, his power to heal the paralytic man, as confirmation of what he is doing inside this man, forgiving his sins, his power to forgive this man's sins. And as before with the leper, the healing takes place immediately. Let's pick it back up in verse 25. "And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God." We see here not only another example of how you know you're living in God's kingdom by Jesus' healing power on display, but we see that it goes even further, as Jesus has the power to forgive sins. The paralyzed man picks up his mat and walks, yes, but his sins are also forgiven. Jesus is not just interested in his physical well-being, but in his spiritual well-being as well. Jesus doesn't just have authority over the physical realm, but the spiritual realm also. Both of these truths, Jesus' power to give physical healing and his power to forgive sins, are signs of what life is like in God's kingdom. They are signs of what life is like when we are living under the authority of Jesus Christ. But as the story ends, it's clear that Luke wants to do something additional aside from just giving evidence of what life is like in God's kingdom. There is also an invitation to us to think about how we respond when we are confronted with the authority and power of Jesus. What is our response when we come up against this evidence, this proof of what life is like in God's kingdom? How do we respond when we are faced with God's power and authority? Are we like the Pharisees, full of doubt? Or do we respond as the crowd, with amazement? Look at verse 26 as we finish this section out. "And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen extraordinary things today.'" This crowd believed in Jesus' power to forgive and to heal. When you are confronted with the power of Jesus, how do you respond? When we read stories like this, or we hear somebody in today's times claiming to have experienced a miracle from God, do we dismiss them? Do we explain it away another way? Do we doubt it? Or do we rejoice in what God has done and glorify God? Where are your stories of God's healing in your life? Where are you walking when you were once paralyzed? Where in your friends' lives have you seen God's miraculous work at hand? What evidence do you have that God's kingdom has come near and that Jesus is still the Messiah? What about forgiveness of sins? Where have you been set free from your sins? Where have you experienced that you are the prisoner who has been released, the captive who's been set free? If you haven't yet acknowledged to Jesus that you need him for the forgiveness of your sins, you can do that today, right where you're sitting. Just pray to Jesus and say, I know you have power over all sins and the authority to cleanse me, and I need your salvation. And then just talk with somebody that you came with. You can find me after. I would love to talk with you. God wants to bring in your life healing and forgiveness. My friends, let's be like the people in this story, seized with wonder, filled with awe, and glorifying God. We have seen extraordinary things today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, which reveals to us your Son and his power and authority to heal and to forgive sins. Help us to be filled with awe for the miraculous things that you have done and are doing. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and setting us free. As we continue to celebrate your victory over sin and death, we ask for more of your power on us. Help us to glorify you in all that we do. We love you. In your Son's name, amen. We're going to transition now in our service to the bread and the cup. As we celebrated last week on Easter, Jesus allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that we could find forgiveness. And as we saw today, he is still at work in our lives, bringing his power and miraculous healing. So as we come forward, let's remember, let's glorify him for the work that he is doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us.